What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Champ and the Tramp. Today's episode is brought to you by none other than Bubba Coos Burritos, my go-to spot. I love Bubba Coos. Take the family there all the time. My go-to is the Signature Creations, which is basically build your own. You pick it, point at it, they build it for you.
You know what they built for me?
What they built?
The crispy chicken bacon sriracha ranch quesadilla. It's a mouthful, but it's delicious. Get yours today, Bubba Coos Burritos.
Real show. Here we go. Real show. Here we go. You know that it's gotta be that time, so this is what we chant. What keeps on getting them all amped in advance. Come on. You and I rocking out with Iron Man F.E. You get the general's point of view on top of Roger's rants. Whenever tapping out, we're putting the most minutes in. You already know what that's about, you know that winners win. Crush whatever's on task, check the podcast. It's the champ and the tramp, let the bomb blast.
Do it, buddy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Champ and the Tramp. I think we're at episode 106 right now. We have my buddy, my good friend, Nick Lepore in. Nick is owner, operator, and CEO of Burger Buff, Inc. What is Burger Buff? Well, he's here today to kind of talk to us, tell us what it is. What I know about it is, first of all, it's the most amazing burger you're ever going to have. But Nick does something called pop-ups, which essentially you rent out space from people who have restaurants or some sort of business where Nick can go use their overhead and come there and create his own burger, and he pre-sells tickets to this, and it's like these things sell like hotcakes. What, how quick do they usually sell out?
In Jersey, like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah. How crazy is that? And how many tickets do you sell?
Depends on the event, but anywhere from like 200 to 300 tickets.
That's crazy.
So one ticket gets you one burger, so people buy more than one ticket.
Right, sure, right. Sure.
Yeah, it's really taken off over the past 2 years. So.
Frankie and I have both gone. I've gone several times. It's my girl's favorite burger. She talks about it all the time. She's like, make him cook you burgers and bring them in. I'm like, they'll be cold, but So I've been a couple times. I brought you one time. I want you to talk about it and walk us through how you got there and where you're at now. But I kind of, it looks like a Smashburger almost. Am I describing that right? I mean,
yeah,
it is, right?
That's the style. I mean, most people hear Smashburger, they think like the chain.
Right.
A lot of places do a Smashburger style. It's essentially the meat starts in a ball form,
right,
or a puck, and you smash it down with a spatula or some other type of tool, kind of get that thin patty crust,
right.
Get some like crispy edges, and it's super flavorful.
Oh, it's so good, guys.
That's just the style of it, yeah.
And now you're even expanding outside of Jersey. I see you in Florida all the time. Other states too, right?
Yeah, so I travel just to kind of review burgers all over the country because that's just something I like to do, and that's kind of how my Instagram page started.
Sure, yeah.
Reviewing burgers, me and you used to eat.
I remember before you even before you were even doing it really on Instagram, you and Kelly used to do them at, and I used to be like, I'd hit her up, like, how was the burger here? Because I wanted to know, because I wanted to go try it, yeah.
So that's kind of how it started. So I developed relationships with all these restaurants and chefs and stuff. And so now I would go down to Florida and try burgers, and they'd see my page. They'd be like, oh, come do a pop-up down here, or I'd be on the West Coast and things like that. So people are just, you know, like with the pandemic, people were looking for new things to do, trying to bring awareness from other people, collab with different places. So I started it right before the pandemic, but during the pandemic, it really took off. And the ticket system works great because, you know, you just show up, your burger's ready, you grab it, you can stay and eat or take it to go. No huge lines the way I do it. So it works out well.
That's exactly how it works. You show up. I mean, you get, and you don't just get a burger. Usually you get, you put little,
buff sauce.
Yeah,
right, you know?
I think it varies, but I remember one time we got like old style potato chips and one. I mean, you definitely mix it up and keep it interesting. And the other thing is talking about your reviews. You don't just review burgers. I see you reviewing all kinds of different stuff that looks cool. So, and I'm a foodie. I love checking out new places. So I'm always paying attention to your page and where you're going and where you're at. And if you need a backup line chef or something, let me know and I'll do some traveling with you.
Yeah, I mean, I try to keep it authentic, and everyone, all the foodie pages, not all of them, but a lot of them are just posting, like, the most ridiculous-looking things, gold-crusted steaks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I want to try to highlight the places that are still, like, true to the passion of food and, like, good people putting out good, like, simple, high-quality food. And sometimes I eat shitty food, too, but it's those are the type of places I like to highlight. It doesn't have to be burgers, but it's usually some type of meat-centric or coffee or dessert, stuff like that. So.
Speaking of that, and I don't want to knock them because it is one of my go-tos. I go there all the time. But I saw you recently with Christian. Actually, we should shout out Christian Coronado. Christian's a great guy. Him and Nick, I mean, these guys are like pro bodybuilders at one point. Well, Christian still is. He just competed, right?
Yeah, he's still going. I don't know how he's still going.
Bro, I don't know how he finds the time, man.
But yeah, he's still competing. Yeah.
But anyway, you guys do burger reviews sometimes together, and I saw you reviewed the Wawa burger. What was your take on that, man?
Oh, man. Have you had it?
No, because someone said it was good.
I had it drunk, and I don't really remember what it tasted like.
Did I hear about your review? Did you say it was garbage?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's what I did here. That's why I'm like, I'm good.
I'm just curious when, like, places like that come out with a burger. Like, first of all, who tasted it to let that go to market? And, like, who's buying it, right? Because, like, someone's buying it, right?
Yo, Chris Liguori's buying it, bro.
I bought one drunk.
That's with my buddy Chris. He said, he goes, good, bro, it was good. And then I heard about your review, and I'm like, fuck that, bro.
If it's possible, the fries are worse than the burger.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They're like air fried, right?
Yeah.
The fries are absolutely hard.
Because I don't really know what type of equipment they have at a Wawa. They don't have like a ton. They don't have like a real grill or anything.
No.
So, right. Like, so they're just heating it like a microwave.
Yeah. Right.
But, I mean, I'm all about anyone can eat their burger however they want. Like, there's a time and place for shitty burgers, and you can get a $20, $30 burger in the city, right? Like, it's whatever you want, but you got to know there's levels to it, right?
Of course.
what led you to this? You know, how'd you get into this? I mean, obviously, you were bodybuilding.
Yeah, so.
So, is it because you just loved fucking your like, cheat meals?
Yeah, so, you know, like, after a really intense leg day or, like, back day, like, I needed something high calorie. And bodybuilders, we always go for a burger and fries as, like, the cheat meal, right?
Yeah.
And I have trouble putting on weight, so I would eat burger maybe two or three times a week.
Wow.
And I always wanted to find the best burger, like you do when you go for your fights. You're in a new city, you want to get a good burger. So that's how it started. And then, as I competed more, like, I became less interested in competing. I still love lifting, still love changing my diet up, but became more interested in food and photography and content. When I was bodybuilding, I kind of hated social media because I grew up lifting probably closer to the days when you were lifting where you didn't even have social media, right?
Right.
We didn't have Instagram. We weren't taking selfies in the gym.
Raj had Polaroids.
So I didn't like social media when I was bodybuilding, but then I kind of put my feelings aside and I was like, let me use this social media like in a positive way, like to highlight places that are putting out good food. So that's where I kind of made the shift to, all right, I don't have to put my personal stuff on Instagram, but I can use it as a business tool.
Yeah. Sure. So, yeah. And that's worked out well for you, actually, really well. I mean, that's how you sell all your tickets, and they sell out so quickly. Where was your very first pop-up? Because I remember calling you one time. I was like, bro, what the fuck is a pop-up? I don't even know what it is.
Roger's idea is a pop-up. He has girls sitting in his lap, and they talk about the first thing that popped up.
at least he said girl. We're making improvement here.
Hey, you know.
Making improvement.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely hear the term more now.
Right.
When I first heard about it, it was like clothing stores that were online and they maybe did a pop-up in LA for a week, right? Mm-hmm. Where they opened up just like a pop-up shop to sell clothes in person. So that's kind of where I took it from, where I would just, I always went to Divvy Tree Coffee to do work, because I did a lot of like remote work. So I was just going there every day doing work, and the owner saw I was cooking burgers, eating a burger every single day for a year in 2019. And he's like, hey, if you ever want to do something at night here, the kitchen's open. Like, we're a coffee shop. We close at 4 or 5. He's like, you're more than welcome to use it. So Divvy Tree in Point Pleasant was the very first one.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool.
So it was kind of like organic. Like, I wasn't going out, like, trying to take over people's kitchen. Like, let me use your space. It was kind of like, just like I had these friendships and relationships. And they were like, hey, we want to help you out. You can help us out by bringing us awareness. We'll sell drinks while you're here. We'll sell coffee, whatever.
It's a cool marriage. You should talk about that as well, because the place that you're selling your burgers at, I mean, you're bringing in sometimes a couple hundred people, and you're giving them business as well, you know. So
yeah, I think that's important to note, is like, it's a fair trade. I'm not imposing myself. They're not paying me to be there. I'm not paying them to be there. It's just like, even like the big name places, Angelica's or Nettie's, like, they have great followings. They don't need me there.
Exactly.
But they like me. I like them. We want to do something cool together. And that's how it happens. Right. Yeah. Whereas now, like, you know, you get to a certain level, and I'm not saying anything special, but people with zero followings are like, come to a pop-up here, and it's like, well, you're really just trying to pull from me. And I still do stuff with people who have lower followings than me, but it's got to be, you know, it's got to make sense.
Yeah.
Right? So, but yeah, like, you went to the Angelica's one.
Yeah, amazing, man. I mean, again, Angelica's, for people that don't know, Seabright, New Jersey, it's very hard to get into. amazing food, not a lot of seating capacity. So when I saw you were doing a pop-up there, I was like, this guy's big time, man. Yeah. He's like right next to Rumson. He's in there, you know. So you know you made it when you're doing a pop-up at Angelica's. Yeah. And we went. We got the best of both worlds because my girl loves the food there. So we were getting Angelica's plus the burger. It was made. Yeah. You know, funny story about that is it was so busy that day, that huge, huge parking lot across the street. My buddy Max drove us up there because we were going out afterwards. And he's like, just jump out. I'll find parking.
It was a beach day.
We ate Angelica's, ate Burger Buff, everything before he even got turned around because he had to leave the parking lot. He went up past Rumson. By the time he got turned around, he just pulled up on the street. We jumped in his car and left. We were there for like an hour. That's how busy it was that day. Wow. Yeah. Crazy.
And it doesn't even have to make sense in terms of like they serve Italian food. I've served burgers. Right. And like people might say, like, how does that go together?
It worked.
But it's just two people that are passionate about what they're doing. Right?
It worked.
But like, it was important for me to start cooking burgers if I was going to talk about burgers, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what your take is on this with fighting, but like, if someone's going to talk about fighting, even if they weren't a great fighter, at least they've
stepped in there and did it, yeah.
Or have put in years in the gyms or whatever it is, right? So like, for me to talk about burgers, I didn't feel comfortable unless I can cook for 200, 300, 400 people and like, you know, back it up a little bit. And I think that's where I gained more respect from these chefs and restaurant owners is I'm not just a guy critiquing food, but I can cook it too. Right. So.
And how did you figure out what your perfect burger is? Obviously, this is formatted to your taste, but you also want to appeal to the masses. You were cooking in your backyard, right? For a while, right? I mean, you were because I would see pictures of your burgers in your backyard on probably a conventional grill, right?
Yeah. So I had no intentions of selling my burger, but when I was doing the burger every day, I wasn't eating out every single day, so I would do an at-home burger once in a while.
So you all different burgers, not the same burger every day.
I would double it up once in a while. Like I would do Five Guys more than once throughout the year. Shake Shack.
That's still one of my favorites, Five Guys.
Yeah.
Their prices are crazy now, though. I took my kids there the other day. Got my kids got them a kids burger and a fry because fries come separate. Got myself like a double and a fry and three drinks. And I think there were three waters. It was like $43. I'm like, what the fuck? When did Five Guys go through the roof?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Five Guys guy?
I'm a burger guy. So yeah, I love it all.
Yeah, they
I still love them, but their prices doubled. Went up.
Yeah, they've gone up considerably. Yeah, I kind of just found what I liked and what I didn't like from eating so many burgers and seeing the kitchens of these places and how they operate. And to me, like something that's handheld, that doesn't fall apart easily, that you can eat one and be like, yeah, maybe I can go for another one, right? Like once in a while I'll crave like a huge burger, but for like a weekly thing, like I want something that's manageable and
doesn't kill you.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems to be the thing. I mean, there's a number of specialty burger places, Burger 25 being one of them, which I love.
Yep.
But you know, they tend to have specialty burgers and they tend to be monstrous. You almost have to eat them with a fork and a knife sometimes. You know what I mean? And yours are, as you said, very manageable. You have the potato bun, right? Yep. Which I love.
Yeah.
So it's very simple. It's potato bun, 2 3-ounce patties. The beef is very high quality. It's a dry aged beef. So kind of combining like a steakhouse quality beef, but then put it into like smash burger form.
Mm-hmm.
Yellow American cheese and special sauce, which is like my take on like a Big Mac sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. I mean, you can add stuff to it. But for me, for pop-ups, I like to keep it as simple as possible because I like onions once in a while. I like jalapenos once in a while, but like not everyone likes that, right?
Sure.
So if I keep it simple,
right,
it comes one way, no modifications, and I'm not doing lettuce bun or any of that.
Right.
Shit, makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
Now your sauce is your own signature sauce?
Yeah.
Can you make that marketable? Can you get that into stores?
Yeah. So we have it in one store right now for now. Lenny's in, the Silverton one. There's one in Point Pleasant.
Okay.
But we're working on getting it mass produced so we can get it everywhere.
Amazing.
But I sell it at the pop-ups too.
Right.
So that's one way where like people are like, how can you scale this if you're just cooking every burger, right? Like you can't be everywhere at once, but like the sauce is something I can scale online and in stores and stuff like that. So
what do you have like an inspiration for your burger? Was there one place that you're like, damn, this is kind of what I'm going for?
It was kind of like combining a few different places, but the smash burger, there's a guy named George Motz, M-O-T-Z. He's like the burger god in terms of like the burger culture. And he kind of like made that more popular, is like smashing the burger. And he uses a potato roll. But potato rolls I just grew up using, right? Mm-hmm. It's like your backyard burger. Everyone in Jersey
I love
gets it from
rolls.
ShopRite or whatever. So yeah, it was kind of combining like the smash burger with like some of my favorites are like the Peter Luger burger in New York. Like obviously great they're spot. Known for their steaks, but they have a really good
and their sauce as well. Yeah. I always get their sauce every time I'm in ShopRite in the summertime. I go through a ton of it. Yeah.
So they have a great burger too. It's only served at lunchtime, but that was one of my favorites. So kind of just combining like really high quality beef, to the point where like a burger chain or like anywhere that's serving like thousands of burgers, they're probably not going to use that expensive beef.
Right.
It just doesn't make sense margin wise what they would have to charge for it. So that kind of gives me like the edge and the difference, because anyone can use a potato bun. Anyone can use.
There's a question for you. Digging a little bit into your business here. You don't have a store frontage. You don't, when you order your beef, where does it go? Where do you keep it? Mom and dad's freezer in the basement? Where do you keep it?
Yeah. So, I try to do everything like the right way. So I do have a commercial kitchen that I use, Christian's.
Oh, Christian's. Yeah. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
And before that I had someone else that would help me store it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, if I was going to do it at like my buddy's pizzeria, the pop up, I'd have the meat sent there. Stuff like that. But Christian has been a huge help along the way. We've helped each other. I help him with his meal prep. He helps me kind of use his kitchen as like my home base to store stuff and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Have you been into a spot yet?
I haven't. I definitely will. I mean, obviously, we're tight with Jamie in here, but I've talked to Christian 100 times. You know, there's plenty of room in this industry for everybody to grow and do well. And we wish nothing but Christian the best. Christian Coronado. Christian Coronado's Cuisine is the name of it. Great guy. He's got a store right in Bricktown. Wish him nothing but the best. Probably the hardest working dude I know, man. Yeah. That guy is a grinder. Still competing.
He's jacked, bro.
Still competing.
Jacked. Shit.
Has a baby, married, and runs a business. It's crazy, man. The level that guy pushes at, it's crazy. Yeah. But
it's important to have one or two.
And gets better every show. He gets better, you know, which you're supposed to. But he's also taking on a lot. You know, it ain't like back when you guys first started training.
No.
Did you ever do a show? Because you were jacked back in the day.
Yeah, I did a few shows. I competed light. I was like 143 bantam.
Okay.
But I made it to national level. 10th at nationals was my best placing, but never turned pro.
Right on.
Just consumes your life.
It does. It does,
imagine.
Man. Yeah.
Like I said, I like the lifting part, but I never really enjoyed the competing part. I kind of just did it because that's what I thought I was supposed to do.
Right.
Like, you're a bodybuilder. That's how.
Now, do you find time to still train with Christian? You guys still train together? Because you did
not
for years.
Not as much, but we still do once in a while. Yeah. We try to do it at least once a week.
Right on.
But yeah, he's busy. I'm busy. Training definitely isn't what it used to be in terms of like deadlifting 500 pounds.
I'm the same, bro. I'm the same. My lifting is not, and I'm not in great shape, so I really need to get back to it. But you know, it's making excuses. This guy never makes excuses. But the older you get, you lose a little bit of that motivation. You know, it's like, fuck, I just want to eat that burger now. I don't want to go lift. You know.
So. Well, I heard him yelling at you.
He does. He gets at. He gets after me. He gets after me. He does. He does. He does.
I couldn't tell you the last time I ran too. I was listening to you tell him you got to sprint once.
Yeah, you got it, bro. One day you're gonna have to fucking run. And you're like, holy shit, I can't do this no more.
I did a photo shoot with this guy the other day. He could barely walk out on the beach, so I would out sprint it in that day.
That day. Yeah. I don't know. Sorry. Besides the burger buff, but your own burger is we'll make that at the top shelf. Where around the world, where do you think is one of your favorites?
I know if we make you say one, that's tough. Top three.
Top three
places you've been for burgers.
Yeah, because like it depends what you're craving. And,
right.
Like, there's so many. And I don't even compare mine to other people because I give people with restaurants way more credit than what I do. They're in it every day in the kitchen, 15, 14 hours a day. A lot of moving parts, a lot of staff, stuff like that. So for them to get out a burger perfect every time is insane. But in Jersey, I really like the Grand Tavern. It's not a burger
I
spot.
Heard about this,
but it's a good restaurant. And it's technically Neptune, but it's like Bradley Beach area. Small menu. They have one burger on the menu. It kind of changes the toppings on it, but they just do everything really well. It's simple.
What's the name of it?
Grand Tavern.
I have to go check that out.
My buddy was telling about it just the other day, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
And one burger on the menu. It's got to be a special burger.
It's a small menu, so there's like 5 entrees and like 4 apps on the menu. But I like places like that because you know they're doing those dishes well, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get a menu with like 58 items. All that stuff's not fresh. Like, there's no way they have the room.
Place you got to try. I don't want to cut you off, but just because I thought of it, I don't know how far you travel for a burger, but in the summertime, I think it's Lambertville, PA. It's right on the other side of the Delaware River, Black Bass Inn. Have you ever been there?
Mm-mm.
Very, very, very old historic building. But they have a burger there, man, that was we'd go out there in the summertime. We'd go out on the bike just to get the burger because it's so good. So, yeah.
Yeah,
it's got like a bacon jam on it. It's so good, man. So good.
But, it's a cool area, that New Hope, Lambertville.
Yeah, like, beautiful area. Black Bass Inn. Put that on your list of places to go. Anyway, that was your top one. What are your other two?
Yeah, Grand Tavern. For like an old school, like just classic spot in Jersey, White Manna. It's up north at Hackensack.
Okay.
They have like a griddle there that's been the same for like 70 years. So, you know, it's pretty flavorful. Wow. Some people can't handle the grease of it, and like, but I love them. They're small. It's almost like a fresh White Castle.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you can take down like 5-6 of them, no problem.
Oh, damn.
So yeah, White Manna.
The slider, like a slider.
And then probably over the whole country, there's a spot in South Carolina, Little Jack's Tavern. Simple double cheeseburger, but that one's like always at the top of my list. But yeah, I've had so many, it's hard to choose like one. But what about you? In Jersey,
Black Bass Inn has probably got to be, you know, one of my higher rated ones. We like I said, we go out there, and they do change, like you said, they change the toppings on it once in a while. Like the first time we went, we were like, oh my God, it's the greatest burger I ever ate. We went the second time, they changed their topping a little bit, and then the third time they brought back, it's like a bacon jam almost, I want to call it, but you know, tiny little diced up bacon bits, but you know, it's just so good.
Where's your spot?
In Jersey, I'd probably Committed Pig.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah.
I remember when you did a review on that back before you started making your own burgers. You went there. And I went there after because
they have a lot of different ones, though, I think.
They
do. You know?
Yeah. That's a good. That's like in four locations, Manasquan, New Jersey, if you guys want to check that place
and
out.
And then the Burger Bar, I used to hit that after fights sometimes in Mandalay Bay in Vegas.
Oh, okay.
The Burger Bar. Yep. Pretty good.
Yep.
They had good shakes, too. Mm.
Yeah, Vegas is tough to navigate food.
Now, okay, so let's see. What about the best franchise burger, if you have to go franchise?
Yeah, so, like, In-N-Out has its mystique because we don't have it here, right?
Yeah, I'm sure
you've had it when you travel there, right? Like, I like In-N-Out for what it is, but I think people overhype it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's cheap, too. It's a lot cheaper than Five Guys.
Right.
But I personally like Shake Shack.
Yeah, me too.
They use
the
potato bun. Mm. They have, like, good quality beef. It's pretty consistent. It is a little pricey, but if we're in that genre, I like Shake Shack. But I like it all. I like Five Guys. I like In-N-Out. I'll even eat McDonald's once in a while.
But if I'm going to go, like, McDonald's, I'm a Wendy's. I go Wendy's.
I'm a Wendy's guy, too, For that type. That's, like, fast food.
Yeah.
No, if you're on the West Coast, I feel like you got to do In-N-Out. But the lines are crazy. The good thing about it is they have like six people working, you know, outside. Yeah. If it's 110 degrees out, they're still out there working
it's
the
like
lines, you know.
What's the burger place in Texas?
Whataburger.
Whataburger, How's that? Have you ever had that? I don't think I ever had that.
I had it. The Texas people almost crucified me when I reviewed it. But
You give it a tough review?
Again, it's like people go out there, they never had it, they think it's going to be something amazing. It's still fast food, right?
Like
for fast food, it's pretty good. I guess it's like a step above McDonald's, but I still like Shake Shack better.
Yeah, I think Shake Shack probably my go-to for that, if I had to pick.
So what's next for you, man? You going to just stick with this for a while, doing the pop-ups and got anything on the horizon you see as far as expanding, or you ever want to do a storefront, or that doesn't interest you?
I'm not going to say never, but right now it doesn't.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe 2 years I want to just stay put somewhere and like set up.
Seaside, you crush it, I feel like. Oh. I feel like you kill it in Seaside,
right.
You know?
Yeah, it's definitely
even if you
appealing.
Did like a fucking pop-up outside the club. You know what I mean? Like,
One of those little kiosk places now that they got, like, you know, they got like
House of Fries?
Well, House of Fries. They got the mac and cheese place. Yeah, and there's not a lot of overhead there. You know what I mean?
Well, who knows?
Wow, yeah. They got to make crazy.
I don't know about rent. Yeah. I didn't say rent. I said overhead. You're not storing a lot of stuff because those buildings are small. But, you know, that's the great thing about what you do is you really have very little overhead. I mean, what you got, you can pack up in a truck. You know what I mean? Basically.
Yep.
Other than your fresh produce, I guess your fresh product, you know?
So.
And again, during Corona, that was advantageous because you were set up outside.
Yep.
I remember coming to see you in Neptune, and that was kind of like in the middle of Corona, and you were set up outside because you bring your skillets, and you know you can basically set up outside.
Yeah, and it's funny. Anyone who owns a restaurant, they're like, "Don't do it." And anyone who doesn't own a restaurant, they're like, "Why don't you open a restaurant?"
Yeah, right.
Because they don't know all the
because they probably see you're doing well without it. Right. You know,
and I'm not making as much, obviously, as someone with a restaurant. They could scale it with numbers and staff. But for one guy cooking every burger, and I have some helpers with me, thankfully, family and friends that help if it's a bigger event. But for one guy cooking every burger, it's a pretty good business plan.
Yeah.
So, what I didn't expect to happen is I was doing these pop-ups just kind of for fun, and people wanted to taste the burger. And people couldn't get tickets because they sell out so fast, so they booked me to come in their backyard and cook.
Get out of here.
Or booked me to come cook at their birthday party. So now, even last year, I had 2022 like almost fully booked with private parties.
Dude, that's genius.
Wow. So I do about four or five private parties a month, and I do two or three pop-ups a month. And that's like a pretty good schedule for me.
Right. So they give you, they say like, I'm going to have 100 guests, and you give them a price for 100 burgers, basically?
Yep. Or, I try to bring more than one for everyone.
Right.
Because, you know, you've had them. You can eat
Roger fucking eat four of them.
I don't do cardio. I could eat six of those.
So, yeah, the private parties are huge for this year. I even had someone book for 2023 already.
Get out of here.
That crazy, yeah. So.
Well, Frankie, next backyard
party. What about weddings? Anybody ever asked for you to do a wedding?
Yeah, I have two weddings for this year. I haven't done them yet, but more for the after, like when you're
Right, like the truck. People get the – my sister had like a – I don't know, pork roll truck or some bullshit, you know?
Yep.
A lot of people are doing that now because everybody's hungry when they leave, you know what I mean? Yeah. Everybody wants to chow down, so that's genius.
Something salty and greasy when you're leaving.
I guess the only thing you have to have on your side in a case like that is you typically just cook. Well, I mean, I guess you could do like a tent, right? You could do a tent to keep the weather off you, yeah.
Yeah, I've been pretty lucky with the weather, but sometimes I'm inside, sometimes I'm outside.
What about food truck? You wouldn't do a food truck? No?
That's what everyone asks.
I just thought of that, no?
One, I don't want to drive a food truck. I know I could hire someone to drive it,
two, you look good behind a food truck. I can see you.
Two, it's like, it kind of takes out the whole exclusivity of it, right? If it was available, like, all the time or drive around.
True.
It would make things easier transporting
stuff. Well, just for parties, you know what I mean? If you just did it for parties alone, you know?
And who knows? I mean, I won't rule it out, but my grill that I have fits in the back of my SUV, and I got a pretty good system. But I've even driven it from Jersey to Florida and did a pop-up in Florida, and like it was pretty smooth.
That's awesome. So,
yeah, I like to be on the move, just visiting new cities.
Right.
You know, when you get to a new city, like just sit in the coffee shops, the burger spots, and like it's just really cool the reach you can have through social media that way. And I have no competition that way too, right? If I had a storefront, it's where you are and location and stuff like that. Like if someone starts doing my exact burger in Jersey, it's not that big a deal to me. Like, and that's happening now too, which I don't think it's a bad thing.
Yeah, you can't patent a burger, right?
Yeah, so. I didn't invent the smash burger, and like people will say like, oh, you inspired me to start this burger thing, and I think that's awesome, right? And you know, like probably when you started fighting, like there's a lot of kids who wanted to try it, right?
Yeah,
but it's whoever's the best at it.
Competition breeds excellence, you know? So,
Only the strong do it for years and years. A lot of people try stuff, they don't stick with it.
The cream rises to the top.
People send me smash burgers. They're like, this one looks exactly like yours. Like, I didn't invent it. It's just my burger.
Tastes like shit, bro. Get out of here with that thing.
So in 2019, when you ate a burger every day for a year, kind of reminds me of Super Size Me, where you eat fast food every day. You ate a burger every day. Was there a body transformation? Because obviously you were fucking chiseled back in, you know, I'm sure you still are, but at the end of a year of eating burgers, was there a noticeable difference or no?
No, I mean, thankfully everyone will equate it to a fast metabolism, which is definitely part of it. But, you know, like, even with a fast metabolism, if you eat like crap, you kind of get like skinny fat.
Yeah.
Right? So I was still training hard every day.
As you work out, you're probably good.
And my other meals throughout the day were pretty clean. Mm. So
if
you think about it, burger's not that bad for you. I wasn't eating a lot of fries. I wasn't drinking sodas, right? So, like, meat, bun, cheese, it's not that bad.
Carbs and protein, fat, you know? Yeah.
So
How many calories would your burger be, you know?
I think it's probably around like 1,000.
1,000? Yeah,
it's not too bad. But there's a lot of fat in it. That's what brings it up.
Yeah.
But I got blood work done before and after, and it was pretty even.
Really?
So I think just being active, training hard, no matter what. It was cool just to document the whole thing. And that's kind of where all of, like, the attention came from initially was some guy who was like in shape eating a burger every day. And then, like, brands started reaching out, like Martin's and, like, meat companies and sauce companies, and kind of took off from there.
So, they wanted to work with you.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
That's awesome.
And I was kind of iffy about that, too, because I hated the whole – I was still probably pessimistic or bitter from the bodybuilding days of like discount codes and all that crap. I didn't want to be one of those guys. But I think if it's a genuine relationship with a company that you actually use, and like people can sense that now. Like,
sure.
Yeah. So, I've since like done a little more like ad stuff if it makes sense. But like, companies reach out like, "Oh, try our gluten free bun." Like, no, I wouldn't eat that, so I'm not going to promote it. Right? Yeah. But yeah, I mean,
gluten free, I'm good, bro.
I always say I'm allergic to gluten free stuff.
Oh yeah. So, and the meat you use is it the La Frieda's? Is it like La Frieda's steak, right?
So Pat LaFrieda, yeah, when I'm in Jersey, I usually use them because you can kind of customize with them to get your exact specs. The Butcher's Block I was using for a while because they have really good meat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but they were closed for a little bit, so there's kind of some lag there. But if I do them out of state, like I did one in Iowa a few months ago, and I would contact butchers out there, see if they can do my blend, and then go from there. So I don't have to like ship the meat out or like freeze it and anything like that. So
and that worked out well. They came up, they kind of mimicked what you were after.
Yeah.
How do you come up with that? You want so much fat content? You want?
Yeah. So most people would go for like 80-20 is a good baseline to get enough fat. I like it a little fattier, so like 75-25 or 70-30.
Gotcha.
And then it's dry aged, kind of gives it more like concentrated beef flavor. And then it's a little chuck and a little brisket, and it's nothing too crazy, but it is expensive because of the dry aging. Yeah.
Sure.
Mouth watering, bro.
Yeah, I know, man.
I know, I should have brought some.
Can you set up a skillet over there in the corner?
Everywhere I go now, they're like, "Where's the burgers?"
I used to listen to Opie and Anthony, and they used to do, someone would cook right in the studio for them back in the day. Yeah.
Who's the guy that eat the burgers on Popeye? You know what I'm talking about?
No,
I haven't heard of that. I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I forgot his name. Wimpy. Wimpy. Yeah, he's the one that ate all the burgers, right?
Who's the bodybuilder? I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on his name, but he used to eat like, and I'm talking the fast food type, like McDonald's. He would eat like 12 or 15 a day, and he used to be like a power lifter. He was super big, and then he had a heart attack, and he got super shredded.
What?
He swears all the time. Fuck, I can't think of his name. Everything comes out of his mouth is fucking fuck. He yells at you. He's
not a C.T. Fletcher.
C.T. Fletcher.
Really?
He used to eat like 12, 15 burgers a day back when he was huge. He used to be like a power lifter.
Really?
And then he got lean and ripped.
He had a heart attack.
He had a heart transplant.
Transplant.
Yeah. But he had a heart attack back in the day.
That's not too good because, for my future.
Yeah.
Now, did he say he had a heart attack and he got a woman's heart? He's like, He's telling Rogan, he's like, "I think she's Asian."
Yeah, he's a trip, man. I don't know why I couldn't think of his name, but
I used to watch all his videos. I was listening to like one of his motivational stuff. You ever see his videos?
Yeah, of course.
Like,
yeah.
The motherfucker, when is here? He's here. You know, whatever. I listened to him, and someone knew him. Well, some diet guy I used, this guy Tyler Minton. He knew him, I guess. So he sent me a video before my fight and shit. It's pretty cool.
You hear him talking. His mother said, "There's always somebody out there bigger and badder than you." Yeah. He said, "No, somebody's got to be the biggest, mama. Somebody's got to be the baddest, and that motherfucker's me."
He's good, man.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Yeah, he blew up back when I was lifting, just for like his quotes.
For swearing at you while you're lifting.
And then, like,
didn't he send you a motivational video?
Yeah, so I said,
yeah.
And then they come out with their own supplements.
Did you say that? Sorry.
Yeah, I haven't seen much of him lately, but
his son. I mean, I follow him on Instagram. His son's pretty big, you know.
Yep.
But he does stuff for like, he helps promote other guys.
Yeah, up and coming like bodybuilder guys. Yeah, young guys. Yeah, but he's one of a kind. That guy.
What did you think of Nettie's the other night?
Really liked it, man. It was so weird seeing you there, you know. So I'll tell you who told me about it. Tobias Eats. Mm. Tobias, I ran into him at a brunch at Asbury Ale House, and we were just talking about food. And he wants me to do a show and stuff. So I'm like, where are like some, you know, places I haven't heard of around here? He's like, there's a really good place called Nettie's House of Spaghetti. He's like, you gotta go. So I took the girl there, bro. It's like her favorite place now. That was like the third time we've been there when we saw you there.
Okay.
But yeah, the chef came out, really nice guy. He's like, yeah, Nick's over there in the corner. I turn around and look, and I'm like, this fucker, of course this guy knows about this place.
That's like my Sunday sauce spot.
Bro, right? That place is so good, just, man.
It's simple. And
like, I don't even want to shout it out because I'm afraid now it'll blow, because it's kind of like, it's kind of like a little
it's a weird
discreet.
Spot, like,
homemade pasta?
Yeah.
Oh, everything, oh, everything there is homemade except for the spaghetti, which they import from Italy. Everything else is fresh made in-house, and it's so
good,
bro. They
have other pastas that they make in-house, It's really good.
If you like Angelica's, you love Nettie's house spaghetti.
He says Asbury?
That's Asbury. It's not like downtown Asbury where you would think. It's all the way the other end of Route 66, like as far as you can go, right to Shafto Road.
It's technically like Tinton Falls.
Okay, is it Tinton Falls? Yeah.
I actually know it. I've seen it. I've drove past it.
Have you?
Yeah.
But kind of a little unassuming spot. They kind of have weird hours there, too. The hours are a little little odd, but so good, man. If
what
you,
is that,
if you
that
like pasta.
El Nido. You heard about that place?
I have. I saw they recently blew up because Rogan posted about
Rogan
them,
and Joey Diaz.
That was a weird post, too, because he doesn't normally post about like restaurants like that.
Nah,
he
must have. Joey Diaz. You know Joey Diaz?
Yeah.
That's his boy. I think his boy goes there. He must have said, hey, can you give him a little rub for me?
Because their Instagram like jumped up like 10,000 followers after they posted
anything
it.
Rogan
it
touches.
Have you been,
I haven't, no. But I heard the black ink pasta is a really good.
Yeah, I got to check it out. I haven't been yet, but it looks good. Any local Italian spots you like? Or not really?
No, I mean, we have so many pizzerias. There's good places around here, you know, but like... They're kind of run-of-the-mill, you know?
I feel like, like you said, most of them are pizzerias, and some will have, like, a dish that's, you know, like a really good dish.
Jordanelle's is pretty good. Yeah. You know, Villa Mafia's not bad. You know, they're all right.
Little like, unassuming spot in a strip mall that's really tiny. Tardy's is pretty good, man.
Tardy's is pretty good.
A lot of people like Tardy's.
Yeah.
For some reason, Tom's River can't get that, like, high-end spot.
No,
I don't know if it's because people won't pay for
it. You tried that Bistro 561 yet?
Not yet.
Just tried it. It just opened. That place was under construction for, like, 2 years.
Yeah.
And it finally opened. Went in, met the owner, Frank. Really nice guy. Menu is definitely a little higher end than you would think from Tom's River. I think it's going to do really, really well in the summertime when you get all the summer people down here. But just, you know, for just going in there, pop, I had a steak. We had steak frites, like they're, you know, kind of like fries.
What? Steak what?
Frites. That's what they're called, right?
Fritas, right? Aren't they fritas, right?
Is it?
Fritas, frites. How you said it?
How do you say it? I don't know.
Frites.
That's how he pronounced it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll give it to the fucking restaurant.
And a wedge salad. But anyway, before I was...
A wet salad?
Wedge salad, you fucking idiot.
I said, yeah, wet salad.
Imagine trying to do a podcast with this guy fucking every day.
I do you. You
fucking
said,
idiot,
wet
bro.
Salad.
But anyway...
You got to watch every single...
Everything you say with this guy. Anyway, it was really good. I'd give it an 8 out of a 10. It was a good spot, yeah. For a new place, that's pretty good, because usually new places take a little bit of time to... Settle in, you know, but it was good.
Not to hate on the hometown, because I love Tom's River, but it's like I always say, it's like a culinary disaster for mom and pop restaurants for some reason. Like,
true.
We have a lot of good pizzerias, like
right,
but for like high end restaurants, there's nothing really
tough.
Stays. Yeah.
Or Rivoli's has changed hands. Like, it's on his third owner now in what, a couple years. It's crazy.
Is that
Joe Bella's now?
Yes.
Joe Bella's now, but it was. Canetta's before that, Patty Canetta's called.
No, it was the White Rooster.
White Rooster,
yeah.
She owned it, but yeah.
That was it, though. Right?
Right.
It was Rivoli's and that.
Right, I said three times. It's been three different places in a few years, though, and that's a, you know.
Yeah, I guess two, yeah.
Well, it was Rivoli's.
Okay, three places.
This fucking guy just loves to argue, man.
That's your old stomping grounds, right?
Rivoli's, I used to go there all the time when Tony owned it. He's got the place in Howell now that keeps him busy.
No, he doesn't. Like I think he sold that one.
Well, it's still got the same name. Maybe.
Does he
or
not? Yeah.
I went past it the other day. Still had the same name.
Because he has the one over here.
Yeah. Oh, Ribs.
It's over
Ribs,
to, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. You ever been to the Rayo's? You ever hear of Rayo's?
That's a legendary place, yeah.
I haven't been, but I know about it.
Yeah, that place is pretty good.
Tough to get in there.
Tough, yeah.
It's like an old mobster gangster.
You look
place.
It up, it says you have a better chance of getting eaten at the White House than you do there.
From what I know, they do some weird, like, almost like membership where you own a table there.
Yeah, you own a table a certain amount of nights. Yeah. This is what you hear, at least. You own a table a certain amount of nights, and if you don't sit there that night you're there, you lose it.
Yeah.
Someone else gets it. Mm-hmm. You have to. Someone has to sit there, whether it's you or you send someone has to fill that table.
Well,
and there's no menu.
Really?
You no just menu. Eat whatever the guy comes there, he's like, all right, this is what we got. This. I'm like, yeah, that sounds good. I'm easy. I fucking do everything.
Kind of similar to like the Jersey version of that, I guess, would be like the Belmont Tavern. You ever been there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've been there. Belmont Chicken Tavern. Savoy.
Chicken Savoy. Yeah.
Well, what's your guys' thoughts on that? Because like, I think we're moving into a new generation of eating where like, the exclusivity stuff, the hard-to-get stuff, the butcher block places, my pop-ups, like, people get angry about it, right? But, like, no one's forcing you to go there, right? Like, if you get there, great. But, like, there's food that's available 24/7. Like, I get people that love what I do, and for the most part, it's all positive. But then I get negative stuff, and I try to be sympathetic to it, too, and hear their side of it. But it's, like, they're getting frustrated that they can't have it all the time. Like, if I'm going to put out a certain product a certain way, I'm going to cook every single burger, and I know I can't scale it like a restaurant, but that's just what I want to do, right?
Yeah.
Should I be yelled at for
that? No. People want exclusivity. Well, like, it's the harder it is to get in, the more sought after it is. You're going to piss a few people off, but that comes with it. You know what I mean? That keeps you in the want. You know what I mean?
That's like a gym guy. He says it's almost better to have a parking lot that's not big enough.
Right.
Because you want people to be like, damn, I can't even get a fucking parking spot here.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
It's people want what they can't have. It's the crazy thing.
Exactly,
you know?
Right. Yep.
But I think the product, you got.
Well, it has to, it's not going to be like, you make a shit burger, you know, only five people can get it. You know, ain't no one to get it.
And I think that'll play itself out.
You ever done a pop-up at Gabriella's?
I haven't. I haven't actually been there. I've heard good things.
Yeah, real good.
I know
pricey, but really good. Just
reminds
me
of Butcher Block too. Like
it
music
is
pump.
Similar.
It's a young crowd, super
That's
young.
Frank's
crowd.
Nice guy, the owner, but you know, again, pricey. If you don't mind breaking out, you know, some hundreds. But they do a hell of a Sunday brunch there, and it's the ambiance and the atmosphere. Like, I don't mind paying for that. It's like it almost feels like you're in Vegas.
But it's crazy because you're in a strip mall.
You know what I mean?
The Whole Foods is right down the thing.
It is true,
wild,
but you don't
man.
Feel like you're in a strip mall when you're in that place. Yeah, you definitely don't.
Yeah, I never mind paying for food. The price is what it is, right? Like, you know if it's going to be expensive or not. Like,
yeah,
I never get when people complain about price.
Yeah, right, like, you went there. You decided to go here. Yeah.
So, but the food looks great. I haven't been. I'm not, like, a loud, like, club-type place. I know it's not always.
Well, that would only be, like, Sunday brunch. They obviously do normal nights, too.
No, you know. You've been to Butcher Block, right?
Yeah.
You can't fucking talk.
I know.
It's loud. I mean, that's the atmosphere,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I feel like that was Gabriella's, like.
Gabriella's is even louder than that because they have a DJ. It's like, it's popping up.
I think I saw,
up.
Like, a giant robot on the dance floor.
Yeah. Gabriella's gets crazy.
But I'm like, dude, I felt old there. I'm like, can't imagine Roger. Holy shit.
Not to put you on the spot, but what's the age difference here?
No,
between me and him, he's just talking
six
shit.
Years.
I'm,
six
I'm
years.
I'm 46, he's 40,
six
so
years.
Six
years.
Yeah.
It's fucking long 6 years, though.
It's a bigger height difference than there is an age difference.
Shit.
Yeah, I want to try Gabriella's. They look really good. Butcher's Block, I've only been once, but it was good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just... It's one of those things where.
What'd you get for? I gotta ask. What'd you get for a steak there? Obviously, when you go to Butcher's Block, you look in a cooler and you pick your steak out. What'd you get?
I'm a ribeye guy.
Ribeye,
bone in ribeye is
too,
usually my go-to. I like porterhouses here and there, but I don't understand going to like a really nice steakhouse and getting like the leanest cut. It just doesn't make sense.
I agree.
I went there. They had like someone invited me, but yeah, they invites only right now, I think. And it's like small plates. I think they're testing out some stuff.
Yep.
So small plates for appetizers, it seemed like. But then they came out like six different steaks, skirt steak, porterhouse, ribeye. Ribeye was the best.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, that's usually my go-to. But steakhouses, their sides are a big part of it, right? Because like everyone's going to have the same cuts, right? And obviously the way you cook it. But like if you have good sides, I think that can
Well, they're doing something different now, actually, over at Butcher Block. They're cooking on open fire now.
Okay.
I guess they have a cook from Argentina now.
Really?
Yeah. Because I guess that's big in Argentina. They cook on open fire.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They always had the guy outside. I always felt bad for him when it was freezing. He was on the brick oven cooking the bread outside in the parking lot. It was like 30 degrees out, and this guy's out there. But yeah, Tommy's got a good thing there, for sure.
Yeah, I get people.
And again, that's all about exclusivity. The place just took off. It got hard to get into, and then everybody wanted to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I try to look at it from both sides. Like, obviously, you want new people to try it, and I do get a good amount of new people trying it. But like. Return people is a good indicator too, right?
Yeah,
you want to know people want to come back for it, right? So like, I'm sure they get it way worse than me, but like I'll get an email almost every time after take a drop, like, this is fucking stupid. This is the worst business model ever. Like, open a restaurant already and just like email.
You know, listen, you know you're doing something right if you got haters. If you got haters, you're doing something right.
You know like, dude, I just sold out again. I think I'm doing all right.
Yeah. You're yelling at me over a cheeseburger. Yeah. Remind them, but people are crazy. But again, I think it's like good to see both sides of it, right? Because like, there's something going on their end to yell at you, right?
Sure.
Whether it's justified or not.
their wife is cooking them a shitty ass burger that night.
You got people jumping in your DMs. Yeah. Let me get a ticket.
Nick, before we let you go, where can people find, if they want to buy tickets, what's your Instagram, first of all? Because you sell your tickets through your Instagram, right?
Yep, so it's at burger.buff, and all the ticket drops are through that. I'll put the link in my bio when a ticket drop goes. It goes to a ticket website when they're live, but I announce everything on there. I'm doing even more pop-ups this year, more private events. I do a cooking class, a Smashburger class.
No way.
Once a month at Heirloom Kitchen in Old Bridge. Again, it's a certain amount of tickets that sell out, but still, I'm just trying to provide more opportunities.
So in this class, you teach people how to make your burger, kind of?
Yeah, they get to eat the burger, and it's cool. They make a date night out of it. They bring wine, beer, and stuff.
Cool. Yeah. I've seen that with pasta places. Never seen it with a burger place. Why not? You know?
Yeah, so Heirloom does classes, and they reached out to me, and I thought it was a good fit, and it's cool. You can kind of find different ways to expand rather than opening a spot, right? So, like, teaching classes, selling sauce, whatever it may be. So, at burger.buff. Website is theburgerbuff.